Every day we're going to take more percentage of the gas and diesel generator market away, but it's just a slow process now.
Hi, I'm Zena Harris, a founder and entrepreneur working in the entertainment industry for more than 10 years now.
And I'm Mark Raven, a two-time founder and innovator in the energy tech industry, and spent the last decade powering films, events, and festivals with renewable energy.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to The Tie-In. Super excited for today's conversation. Today, we're speaking with David Rovsek. He's the president of King Kong Production Services. And yeah, just an industry leader and also someone who I've had the pleasure of meeting and sitting in his office and to jam on batteries and renewable energy systems. And your work with King Kong has been instrumental in getting batteries on the ground in Hollywood. And I know you've been working with a bunch of awesome folks here for years. So, David, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Yay. Well, good to meet you too.
Yes. good to see you, Zena. The world famous Zena and Mark Raven. Zena.
Yeah. Mark Raven. This is us. I mean, it's funny, right? It's a small industry. And David, maybe tell us a little bit about how you got in the business and who you are and a little bit about King Kong Production Services.
Yes. Well, it all started with a dream when I was in seventh grade, and I was at the my guidance counselor, and my guidance counselor asked me, is there anything, if there's anywhere you could live and anything you could do, what would that be? I said, well, I want to live in Malibu, California, and I want to make skiing and surfing movies. So I came out to California in 1981 and to find fame and fortune. I'm still looking. I don't need the fame. I'm still looking for both of them, though. And I did live in Malibu, California, and I made a skiing and surfing television show. So I notched that off my belt buckle. I was in production for 10 years. 1997, I started King Kong Production Vehicles on kind of a whim. Bought a motorhome, had a few contacts in the industry. I modified it a little bit on the inside and started driving it. 29 years later, we have about 150 motorhomes and trailers, and we service the entertainment industry, studios, commercials, photo shoots, as well as events. 8 years ago, we launched a company, Set Life. That's production supplies and transportation. So that's a quick background on how I started.
Wow. And just like because I see this on social media all the time. You guys do such a good job there. Set Life is production rental services. Is that right?
We call it production supplies. I don't know what you guys called it.
But
the border, communications, tables, tents.
All of that, yeah.
Small air conditioning, heaters. Yes, about 150 different items. Load them up in the truck and off they go. Hopefully they all come back.
Where do the batteries and power systems fall under?
We're rebranding to King Kong Power. Just nice. A brand name. So we have been in the battery energy storage system for 2 years now. Initially, again, I kind of fell into it because we're a transportation, trailers and trucking. And I was looking into EV trucks to rent. And none of those, even to this day, possibly the bright drop, but none of those really pan out for the cost of the vehicle as well as the range for what we do. Mm-hmm. And, I was exposed to batteries and, I saw that as the next coming of the EV market. And my wife and I purchased our first Tesla December 2013. And it's, we're like 13 years ago. But at that time, I think there was only, maybe there's other ones, but Leaf, they had a little small Tesla, but they had the Nissan Leaf, and they had, I had a Prius plug-in hybrid.
Oh, yeah.
And there might've been some other, but those were the ones I remember. But we came out with a Tesla, and everybody's like, how are you gonna charge that? What are you gonna do? I mean, what happens when you wanna go to Las Vegas? I am seeing us parallel to batteries right now, where we're in that early adoption phase, and everybody's kind of like, well, does it work? How do I know? And how do I charge it? What do I do? It's a great challenge. I think that it's going to take, every day we're going to take more percentage of the gas and diesel generator market away, but it's just a slow process now.
Yeah, it's a shift. It's a shift.
Yeah.
And especially now that gas prices are so high, maybe that'll spur a little action on the uptake of batteries if people haven't been using them. I mean, I feel like more recently in the last maybe couple of years, and maybe you've noticed this too, like there's been more of an uptake in the in battery usage, and not just big ones, but smaller ones too. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, a number of different areas or different items on that, in that sentence. We've been about 24 months, and the openness or the reception is much better now. But it still is, if I had a dinner plate and I had a grain of rice 2 years ago, I had two last year, I have three this year, I still have to fill up my plate. But certainly there's less resistance, more openness. And I think people are just seeing that, maybe seeing them more and seeing they're working and it's good. And the right application, it's a better tool than a generator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it takes time, and people have to have those aha moments, right? I think that was a big thing when we were looking at it, you know, that was like 10 years ago, but it was like the first reaction someone says is, nope, not going to work. And then they're like, well, try it for this. And they're like, oh man, it worked for that whole entire thing that I needed to power or whatever I was doing. And then they're like, can I use it for this? And then they call you one day and they're like, I need everything you got in the shop. We're doing this. Right. So it's just like, everybody has to have their aha moments. And then when one day they're like, we're going underground, or we're going somewhere where we need this technology. Are you getting feedback from that on those use cases? Regularly, are people coming to you like, David, we just used it for this. It changed the way that we did the production.
Yes. We have to get people over the hump. There's a big fear of failure in the entertainment industry. And also we just, as humans, we have habits. We know what we do. This is how we do it. We know it worked. And there's fear of change and fear of failure. So what we have to do is make people comfortable and confident that it will accomplish what they need it to do. And once we can usually get over that hump, exactly what you said is that they come back, for more. Couple of things we talked about. You said applications. I mean, last week we were in an airplane hangar on a project, and you can't run a generator. We're numerous times we're in an airplane hangar. So again, it's the batteries are a better application, a better tool in many circumstances. And many times we can actually save money as well, not just because of the $8 a gallon fuel, although that's also been I've been talking about that a lot. We're at $8 a gallon for diesel down here.
Wow. I always used to joke that, you know, we're green power dealers.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, hey, try this.
First one's free. but a joke there, we do have to do a lot of demos. So, I mean, yeah. We're doing I just got called for an Amazon show on Monday, and I have to go down there, walk through, obviously get them up to speed, but make them feel comfortable about what it can do. They just don't know. So a lot of demos, most of the time, those demos become rentals after that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you guys do demos like demo days on your lot too, right? I've seen that, you know, swirling around on social media. And I've sent some of my team over too, to check out what you're doing. So that's great.
It's constant on our end. We're just trying to educate people, get them in front of it, again, getting them comfortable and confident about the equipment. So we do demo days here, where we'll set up batteries. We'll have about a 30-minute talk and slideshow, and then we set the batteries up with different applications, from running trailers to running different types of lights, from Airy 18Ks to the Nanlux and so forth. We're also coming up on the 18th of this month. We work with local 728 down here, and they have what they call a Techquidity event. We've done this several times, so we will be at local 727 on Saturday the 18th. Also doing, well, there'll be other companies there as well, but we'll be doing demos there for the union members.
Yeah.
Is that for LA Climate Week as well, or that's completely separate?
Just completely separate.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got LA Climate Week and Sustainability Alliance coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, music, you know, that's something that Zena and I talk about a lot. It's like, it's been awesome to see the music business actually kind of peel away from film and start to be its own, do its own thing, and also start to move really, really quickly, right? We're seeing a lot more solar and batteries and folks like Neil and Overdrive. Are you seeing more movement in that direction, or you're still focused mainly on film?
No, it's another avenue and another area. We've always worked with events, but this is another avenue for us. Event industry is almost in some cases more open to the batteries.
Yeah.
Typically, one of our challenges on a film set is that a generator on that film set is usually owned by someone on that set, or they know the person. Oh, there's some type of close tie. So if you get a battery swapped out for a generator, someone's not too happy about losing their rental on their battery. But the events are very, are much more open. We have batteries right now out at Coachella. You mentioned Neil, we work with Overdrive. So in support, Coachella's all truck stop and back of house. We're not running stages. But a huge market for us is small to medium size festivals. We just did a 2-day vegan food festival in Westwood Village here in Los Angeles, and had been talking to the event producer. There was a little bit of an incentive for her, because the city of Westwood requested, I don't know if required was it, but heavily requested that there was no gas or diesel generators run. So we went in and we ran a 2-day festival, 8 hours a day plus setup. We ran it with one large Moxion, and then a couple of different smaller batteries, portable batteries. We ran about 40 vendors, four food trucks, all on batteries. If we had been there with a diesel generator, we would have been probably a 45 kVA generator. We would have burned about 80 to 90 gallons of fuel. And when you talked about the $8, we're fucking $700-$800 just in fuel charges. So more and more events. In Santa Barbara, we did the Solstice Festival. It's 120,000 people over 3 days.
Wow. So
we're running a main stage and two stages and a DJ, plus all the vendors, completely 100%, and food trucks 100% on batteries. Work with LA Music Center. They're part of the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion here in Los Angeles. So we do 4th of July and New Year's Eve. It's the largest New Year's Eve event on the West Coast. So we provide trailers and battery power for those events. Again, the event industry is very open to this, and we've had great success in that area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting because, like, for me, when I go to an outdoor festival, like, it's the first thing my ear like goes to is like the sort of, you know, background noise of like the generators and stuff. And yeah, it drives me crazy. I'm always pointing them out and taking pictures. And it is so nice to see, like, you know, when you can actually hear the music so clearly and, you know, really, it's just such a nice environment to be in when you don't have that, the drone of the generator. People don't even realize that that's what they're listening to. So
yeah, typically you don't realize that till the generator turns off and you're like, oh wait,
yeah,
whoa, silence.
Well, it's like the same feeling as taking ski boots off or something. You know, you turn it, I always liken it to that, right?
That's my worst part of my day, is taking my ski boots off. I have to tell you that I have one foot that will not come off. That's the worst part of my ski day. Mark and I are big skiers, if everyone didn't know.
But I always, that was always my analogy, when someone finally turned the generator on, he didn't know that it was like an angry industrial sound. But again, yeah, it's like that whole ski boot thing too. I don't know what it was. It's like I was like that feeling of relief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've been working with numerous food festivals, food and wine festivals. And I mean, first thing I say is your food and beverage should not be mixed with diesel smell and noise, right? Exhaust and smell. We have one client, one of the benefits, not just that no exhaust and it's silent, but typically we have less cabling going around. So we have one client that does a San Diego Wine and Food Festival, Ken Voist, and his main objective is to be sustainable, but he wants a cleaner guest experience and less cabling. We do run some cabling on that event, but we do quite a bit of portable batteries. And it's there's less cable, you know, in the entertainment industry too. We all know there's typically saving time. There's less cabling, less cable ramps. You're saving materials and labor and having a better, cleaner experience, especially for events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you do your job right, people notice even less now with batteries, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, no, everybody's like, and once they've really, no one knows, and the guests don't know at an event, but like, you put up a couple solar panels and like, what's going on here? And you're like, what are you powering? Oh, so we're powering the stage with batteries. And they're like, oh, wow. So solar panels are definitely a good optic.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's cool. That's cool. So I, you know, because you've been in and around the industry a long time, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. One of the things that, you know, I run up against a lot that I try to dispel, too, is, you know, some of these, you know, myths or excuses or whatever comes up, you know, when people are new to this. I'm curious, you know, what sorts of things do you hear that, you know, consistently that you're that kind of, you know, you're like, we, you know, that's just an excuse. Yeah. That's, you know, how can we can do that. You know, like what rubs you?
Well, one of the main things is, here, I'm calling transportation coordinator, buddy. I know, hey, Bobby, Susan over at Amazon wanted me to talk to you about running a base camp generator. David, you know, I own generators. Yes, I do. But I had to ask anyhow, end of subject, right?
What about hybridizing? Just to like throw it in there, because, you know, I'm seeing hybrid systems now coming on more and more is in construction, but also, you know, we're seeing them on trailers together. You know, to me, that would seem like kind of a no-brainer.
I think so too. We do have a hybrid system right here in our yard, nice. Atlas Copco with a battery and generator. You run out of the battery, it's pre-wired to the generator's pre-wired to the battery with an automatic start when the SOC gets to 10%. I haven't had a lot of, in the entertainment world, I haven't had a lot of luck with that.
So with people who own generators and, you know, pairing a battery with them, like if you bring a battery, they bring their generator, that doesn't happen?
We haven't attempted to do that. The systems that we have are in one system, particular. It's all in one inclusive on a trailer. Mm. So it's a battery and a generator. It's a 75 kilowatt battery, 7530 with a 45 kVA generator all in one. It's great to use, simple, because you just cam lock out of the battery. You never have to, you don't have any charging anxiety. When the generator does kick on, when it gets to 10% state of charge, you're running very efficiently. You're not wet stacking that generator, and you're saving 60 to 80% of your fuel costs.
Yeah.
Would you be open to bringing that
to Burning Man? Which sure. It might get a little dusty.
Yeah. We've been to Burning Man many times with our trailers. We've handled quite a bit of A-list celebrities up there in the past.
Well, it's good to know that you have that hybrid system. Cause I'm hybrid all the way here at this point.
Yeah, I agree. Again, I was with the president of a company called Core, and they've developed this Moxie. I don't know if you've seen it. It's this 3 kilowatt battery. And I'm just like, yeah, we got to make everybody feel comfortable, confident. And we're the early adopters. And he said the one word, I don't know why, it struck me. He said, time. That's all. It's time, right? So I'm a firm believer in 5 years. In the entertainment world, the studio world, I think in 5 years, the resistance keeps coming down. I think it's just going to be part of every package. I don't think generators go away, but I think it's more of a part of every everyday package. It's not, I'll take this generator, these batteries, and it's not anything like, hey, let me demo it, let me see what's going on.
Yeah. But also, like, I think also that whole next generation of filmmakers, that like film schools and so on. Like, I mean, I think we touched on this. We had a quick chat the other day, but it's like, they're just going straight to the batteries. They're learning how to make productions differently and how to make it more nimble. And now with the changing, right, indie films and different productions and students, like, I don't know. I think that's going to be the big shift.
Yeah. I'll call them kids, but students. Yeah, we work with like AFI. We'll do demos over there. Northridge, University, California, Northridge, Long Beach. We do demos with those students. And then if they call us, we'll usually just almost give them the battery for the most part. But yeah, they haven't been around diesel generators their whole lives, or, you know, so they're so much more open. It's really a breath of fresh air to work with them. They just have no walls in front of them about it.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, just to kind of flip it, because I know there's been, you know, more awareness, more uptake, you know, students are engaged in this, you know, there seems to be a lot of positive momentum. Is there anything you see or worry you have about what could slow this down?
I think that we will, batteries, as far as permitting and UL certification, safety certifications, I think that we will see, as batteries become more prevalent, it's somewhat, people aren't sure what they are. It's a gray area. Although I did just look up, Ellie, we did an event, and they, for the permit, it said battery and it said / BESS. So they were treating it as the same. I think as we go, there'll be a little more scrutiny on the batteries as far as safety goes, even though they are, they've been extremely safe over the years. The restrictions, government restrictions, and people requiring UL certification, which not a whole lot of the batteries have at this point, might be a little bit of a roadblock, a stumbling block. Other than that, I mean,
fire departments. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know that the fire departments are the ones driving some of these things too.
Yeah. FSO, we had one event, the city of Glendale, is a proponent of being sustainability and diesel free. So we've done some small events. We do a concert series over there over the summer, and it's run off of a 15 kW portable battery, which I do want to talk to you about the sweet spot on these,
yeah,
these size portable batteries. But they called us for, they have a big car show, and there's a stage. It's a pretty big event brand. They closed down several blocks, but the fire department would not permit the Moxion for that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the only time, but I'm always concerned. You know, we do the dance. We have a document prepared from about what components are certified and safety. So typically we get around that, but that might become more of an issue.
Yeah, Moxion, they didn't completely get to 9540, UL 9540 before their demise.
Yep.
I know that they were planning to do that. It was on the books and so on, but they've also made 1,000 units and got them out, 1,000 prototypes and got them out there. So
they are rock solid units, I can tell you that. And there's nothing that has more energy storage in that amount of space out there. I mean, Variety's got the 150, but you know, 25% of the power and about the same footprint, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's coming. It's happening. We're going to, you know, gen twos, gen threes. I bought, for one of my trailers, I bought a plasma TV when they first came out. It was 42 inches. It was still about 4 inches thick. The retail price was $12,000. I got it wholesale for $8,000. My point is, That was 20 years ago. Now for you get an 80-inch TV for great TV for under $1,000. I know that's batteries will go to. Yeah. You agree, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely. And the cost curve's coming down here as well. Obviously things change a little bit with the FEOC and the Chinese manufacturing, you know, all that stuff. Like that's gonna sort of be a bit of a battery costs are gonna go up for a little bit here in the US. While the rest of the world is benefiting from, you know, cheaper technologies, but it'll level out eventually. But you mentioned something about batteries, because there is such thing as a battery that's too small, right? And doesn't do the duty cycle or doesn't, you know, provide the power that's needed to get the job done. You've been experimenting with all different sizes of batteries here. And you've sort of landed on the sweet spot for a battery. You're the first person that I've heard really sort of say this about it, because you've probably experimented with more batteries than almost anybody. What are your thoughts on the sweet spot?
Yeah, we do carry different size batteries, and we have an Instagrid, which is 2.1 kilowatt hours of energy. That's a great unit, 3,600 watts output, but it has a huge, spike on there, surge.
Yeah.
In fact, that unit is really great. It has one particular, application, and the Pro Photo strobe, the, flashback, it'll run that where some other units, it won't take it's a huge surge. We have the NUE 5.1. Those, are solid units, Pelican type case. 220 amp outlets, 3,600 watts output, 5.1 kilowatt hours of energy. Real solid, just a good amount of energy as far as if someone was looking to purchase or whatever, at a good, the kilowatt per hour, you know, cost is great. But where we really are seeing, in fact, we also have an agreement with one of the studios. We've got a contract. Is this 10 to 15 kilowatt hour energy storage? We currently carry Rion, Machinex, and Shape Basecamp 15,000. Shape is a Canadian company. They provide their businesses batteries for camera batteries and accessories, and they've come up with a unit that is not only sexy and works great, but it's we have 15 kilowatt hours of energy. Then we have the 60 amp, the stage pin coming out of it. We have 50 amp twist, 220, 240, 30s and 20s. So the larger units, the Machinex, we have the stage pin as well, but the larger units can use them for different types of power. Not just the storage will last longer, but then the different amounts of output on it. NAB is coming up in a couple of weeks, and we debuted it. I was there with at NAB last year and debuted this, the base camp, and connected with Nanlux, who is an unbelievably great company. We debuted this battery at NAB with Nanlux was introducing their Evoke 5000, which is equivalent to a 20K light. And we had this on the corner of the Shape booth, and then we had the Nanlux 5000. People would come and they were stopping, and first they couldn't believe that the light was a 20K light. And then they would look down and they're, what is this? And we said, this is a battery and it's powering this light. And they're like, well, how long can that last? And well, at full rip, at 100%, we can go almost 3 hours, about 3 hours. But I mean, who would have thought that you could have powered an 18K, 20K light off of a portable battery? Probably 2 years ago, no one would have guessed we would have been able to do that.
And that brings up an interesting point though, right? Because a lot of the movement in batteries has been driven by the efficiency in LED lights and different lighting innovations. Because yeah, that 18K, right? That was like the standard. It's like, once we can do that, then it changes the game. So it sounds like they're working on that. So it's like a 5 kilowatt power draw, but it's a sort of an 18K of light output.
It's turning amps and everything. The Airy 18K is about almost 100 amps, like 97 amps or in that. I could be off, but the Evoke 5000 is 46, 47 amps. So that's why we can run off the 60 amp stage pin, but definitely the shift to LED lighting is definitely making the batteries more applicable and more useful. I mean, we can power any LED light, I think, even with a portable unit, you know, on set. So, and again, saving time and money. I need that light across over the parking lot. I just push the battery over and bring the light over. I'm not cabling anything. We worked with the Amazon show. We powered their base camp for 6 weeks, and we worked with the rigging team for 6 weeks, and they used the batteries not every day. It was certain applications, but the rigger said he saved an hour to an hour and a half a day when they used the batteries and labor. Just being able to put the battery closer to set. There was one instance where they had in Hollywood, there was a residential street and they had a hero house, and the shot was a wide shot down the whole street, the entire street, and you couldn't have a generator. They were also had sound. They couldn't have a generator close to there. They were going to put a generator a city block away, cable through an apartment building and then through the house to the house. They would have had to permit the street. They would have to have a security guard. They would have to probably pay the other apartment building to come through. We estimated probably around $4,500 to $5,000 would have cost them to put the generator over there. Like, can you put this in the garage? It was a carport, but we're like, if we can get it back there. So we put the tray of the battery in the back in the garage, and they didn't have to do all that cabling and all that extra permitting and work. And that was one of many, many situations where we can, the application actually saves money and time and money.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Love it. It's a discovery process here, and you guys are doing it. So love it. We're like wrapping up here on the home stretch, but I do want to address one thing. Obviously the film industry has been going through a bit of a rough patch here, obviously COVID and writer strikes and AI and, you know, international and so on. Are you seeing stuff happening in LA? Like what's the sentiment down there right now? Obviously LA is still the center of a lot of things. But I'm just curious as your, your take and your feel for where the industry is going to be going here in the next, you know, while?
Good question. Let me get my crystal ball out. I don't have one, but we had a bit of an uptick right now. California increased their incentives, their film incentives, to $750 million. I may not be exactly perfect on all my words here, but there was one of the first rounds. They had to start production by January 31st. So we've had a handful of shows start due to the film credits, tax credits. We still have a uphill battle. I don't know if you've heard about the Baywatch situation. Baywatch was going to go to Australia, and they got $21 million in tax credit. So they decided to stay here.
Nice.
Well, the story, they shot for 3 days at Venice, and the city council person was out there on TikTok and everything and media. Then the city decided that they couldn't do quite a bit of what they needed to do, drive cars on the beach, and they shut them down.
No.
Yeah. So that I think is going to be a black eye for us. We still, part of our issues is our permitting and locations and regulations, just how we do business here. Not only are we probably the most expensive place in the world to do business, but it's also challenging in other respects too. So, yeah. Not to be a doomsayer, but everything cycles.
Mm-hmm.
We're Hollywood. We have the most diverse locations in the shortest amount of area. We have the best crews and equipment in the world. No offense to anybody else on that. And we have the weather and celebrities here. So, we're always going to have, we just need to right size. I think we just probably have twice, just get through the cycle and right size. We probably have twice the amount of crew and vendors that can support this. The data shows that we're still have more scripted shows than anywhere in the world. England's right behind us, but anywhere in the world would love to have how much work we have here. We just had, overabundance of mm-hmm. crew and vendors and equipment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a good time for indie though. And indie all needs and batteries and nimble and it's mm-hmm. change is good. And it sounds like King Kong is going to be, King Kong Production Services is going to be out there in front.
We plan on it.
Definitely in the mix.
Yes.
Definitely in the mix. Wow. Well, David, thank you so much for talking to us and for all the work that you're doing. Honestly, like, keep it up, man.
Yeah. Yeah. We need guys like you out there blazing trail.
I enjoy it. I'm always up for a new challenge and keep the brain ticking and something new. We don't want to be boring and, same old thing every day.
That's right. That's right. Got to evolve and innovate, right? So he makes it fun.
And where can they find
you? I got to get up to Whistler this weekend so I can ski with Mark.
I know. That's, right. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Jealous.
It's going to be amazing. I'll send you a photo from the hill. And then where can folks find out more about King Kong?
Well, our website, KingKongProductionServices.com. And there can my always email me directly, David@KingKongTrailers.com. And you probably put a graphic up for my cell. My cell is on. That's the one thing that we feel we're a boutique. We can handle almost any big show, but we're going to be a little more concierge service. My phone's always on, and we're ready to pivot and take care of your needs.
Yeah. Yeah. And look for Set Life Rentals, I think, on Instagram, right? I see that all the time. So that's, you guys do a good job there. So
thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for jumping on with us. We really appreciate it.
I love it. Well, I listened to all your podcasts, and I love it. And thank you for as well as for promoting sustainability. Again, I think it's just like what someone said, it's just going to take some time here.
Mm-hmm. And we've got some good ones coming too. We're trying to bring some new ways of thinking about this stuff as well coming on. So,
all right. Keep me posted.
Oh, will do. Thank you.
Our designer is Aaliyah Kane. Music is by Peter Chapman. Social media is by Sharon Ewan. Our editor and producer is Rachel Werbel.